Be seated, and if you would, turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. My subject this morning, the blessings of redemption. We just sang about it, I'm redeemed. This is part 2. The blessings of redemption, part 2. It's important that you understand your redemption and what took place on that cross when Jesus redeemed us. I've been using as a basic text for this particular series of messages, Galatians 3, 13 and following. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now look at verse 29, because this is so important to you knowing who you are in Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Everything that Father Abraham had belongs to us. And everything that Jesus paid for at the cross, it belongs to us. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So what is the curse of the law? Well, the only way you can know what the curse of the law is to go back to the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And as we look at the law, we find the curse or the punishment for breaking God's law, and it's a threefold curse. First of all, spiritual death. We were dead in sin and transgression because of what Adam did, and we must be born again. Secondly, it is poverty. And God has redeemed us from that because Abraham was a wealthy man. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about the riches of the glory of our inheritance in Christ Jesus. But that's part of it. And then he has redeemed us from sickness and disease. The Bible says he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. If you would put Galatians 3:13 back up there, I want you to see something. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. He's talking about the cross. Peter looks back at the cross. He said, this is not a prophecy. This is not a fulfillment. This is a fact that was paid for at Calvary. It said in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. I get myself in trouble with a lot of people when I start preaching about healing, because some people, they think everybody has to be sick. Well, you're not everybody. You are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you'll use your faith, you'll be surprised at the great things you can get from God. In this message, I want to deal with our redemption from spiritual death this morning, because spiritual death is the first curse that came upon man when he broke God's law. God told Adam, he said, the day that you eat of that forbidden fruit, you shall surely die. And Adam and Eve, they were permitted to eat of every tree in that garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The curse of God would come upon them if they disobeyed God. But not only did it come upon Adam, because of what he did, we were all born in sin and transgressions, and this whole world is under the curse. But we're not under the curse. We've been redeemed. So God says, don't disobey me. They disobeyed God. They were driven from the garden, and they could no longer eat of the tree of life. At this point, mankind became a slave of sin and of death. What is sickness? It is a state of death. And if you get sick enough, you'll die. I promise you that. So what is the result? Man is lost today, not because of what he is, not because of what he does, rather, but because of what he is. He does what he does because of who he is. We sin not because we were bad. It was just because it was just our nature. And so we must be born again to get God's divine nature. Man needs life from God because he is spiritually dead. And Jesus said, you must be born again. My subject this morning, the blessings of redemption, part two. In this message, I'm going to deal with our redemption from spiritual death. Brother Philip, would you please come and ask the Lord's anointing upon the servant and upon the message. Hallelujah.
Father God, we thank you today that we're able to assemble ourselves in your name. And we thank you for your presence in our midst today. And Lord, we ask you to have your will and your way in this service. We ask for that holy anointing upon our pastor as he breaks to us the bread of life. We pray that holy anointing upon each of us as we hear and receive your word. And Lord, may we have wills that are anointed to obey your word this day. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Man sins not because of what he is, what he does, but because of what he is. And we were all sinners by nature. In John chapter 12, Jesus is headed to the cross. And these are some of the greatest words that have ever been spoken. Look at John 12, 31. Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Look at John 12, 33. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Sometimes people wonder why we Christians place so much importance on the crucifixion, because when Jesus was crucified, the Roman soldiers, they had crucified thousands of men. During those days, the hillsides, they were lined with crucified people. Jesus died the same death. So why is his death so different? Why is his death so significant? What difference did it make for Jesus to die like other people had died? Well, his was a crucifixion, but it was not the same kind of death that others died. It was a time when the climax of the ages was coming together. It was so significant that when Jesus died on that cross, the very earth shook and trembled. All of creation went into mourning. The sun pulled a drape over its face and said, "He has died, and I can no longer praise him." It was darkness upon the earth. And when that happened, the animals lay down in the meadows and said, "I can no longer praise him because he has died." The birds went to roost at noonday and said, "I can no longer praise him because he has died." Well, his crucifixion was just like the others. But let me tell you something. It was a strange, strange time. And like that, death had a hold upon everybody. He died, but he didn't stay dead long. On the third day, the Holy Ghost stormed the gates of hell, kicked them down, walked over to where the Son was held in the throes of death, breathed into him the eternal spirit, and up from the grave he arose. He was crucified. He died. He was buried, and he rose again. And that's what I'm talking about. And that's what Jesus was talking about in these scriptures in the book of John that I read. Yet so many people today, they live and die in this world, and they never realize what Jesus has done for them. Lost, suffering, dying, crying, suffering humanity. All of us, we all had a part on what took place on that cross that day. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. The Bible says, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God." The world cannot understand why you get up on Sunday morning and you come to church. They cannot understand why you pay tithe. They cannot understand why you pray and why you read the Bible. The preaching of the cross is foolishness unto them that perish, but unto us that are saved, woo! Unto us that have been redeemed, unto us that have been changed by the power of the blood, hallelujah. The preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. Go on and praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We have good news. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." Now, Jesus is talking about his death in this passage. He said, "When I'm stretched out on that cross, when I'm crucified, when I die, when I'm buried, when I go into hell, and when I rise again," He said, I'm talking about the judgment that belongs on the world. Now, the Bible talks about judgment. Look at Hebrews 9:27 says, is appointed unto man but once to die, but after that, the judgment. I remember a poem, Alan Seagar, he was a soldier in World War I. He said, I have a rendezvous with death. It's undisputed barricade when spring comes back with rustling shade and apple blossoms fill the air. I have a rendezvous with death when spring brings back blue days and fair. He ends that poem by saying, and I to my pledged word am true. I shall not fail that rendezvous. My Lord. Maybe he was just inspired by this one scripture, but he never made it back home out of World War I. My Lord. The Bible says it's appointed unto man but once to die, and after that, the judgment. The Bible talks about the judgment of rewards that the saints of God will receive. Is it the judgment seat of Christ? And the Bible talks about the great white throne judgment where sinners will be judged for their sin. Those who reject Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, they will be judged for that sin. What an awful thing it will be. Oh, I think about how awful it is. The Bible says that whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. Oh, I wish that were not true. I wish there was no hell. I wish there was no lake of fire, but it is true. It is true. The judgment is coming, and it's coming for every one of us. With every tick of the clock, with every rise of the sunset, with every sunset, with everything that has happened, with every step of life, with every breath we breathe, we are one step closer to the judgment. You see, Jesus went to that cross. He was crucified. He was buried. And he rose again. What made him do it? Have you ever thought about that? What made Jesus take the judgment of the whole world upon himself? He said, I'm taking the judgment of the world so they won't have to endure judgment. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred. His side was riven. He gave his life's blood for you and me. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred. His side was riven. He gave his life's blood for you and me. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are redeemed, church. We don't have to worry about judgment because Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. Think about that. We come to church and we forget the price that was paid for us. Sometimes we fail to serve Him the way they shouldn't. I hear people talk about sins of omission and sin of commission. Sin is of the heart. That's where it is. Get your heart right with God and everything else to line up in your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not one of those on sins of omission. I'm not going to have that weight put on me. I'm just going to serve God with all my heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. I believe God is a good God, and He understands we're in this world. But you need to set your heart on things above and not on things of the earth. And when Christ, which is our life, shall appear, the Bible says, then shall you appear with Him in glory. Somebody go on and praise Him. Hallelujah. You know, some people, they think, well, I got to wait till I die to see if I pass. I want to make sure that my good outweighs my bad. You've heard them say that. They think God's going to put me in His balances. And if my good outweighs my bad, then I'll make it into heaven. My Lord. You can know whether or not you're going to make it, and you can know it down here. You know down here whether you're going to pass or whether you're going to fail. Look at John 5:24. Jesus said, Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You have it now, and you shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but he is passed from death unto life. We have life. We have Zoe. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have it, and we have it now. We are the children of God. Hallelujah, because we accepted the sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you shall not come into judgment. You shall not be condemned if you got me. Somebody said, well, we'll all stand at the great white throne judgment, and God's going to bring out all of our sins and all of our transgressions, all that. No, that is not true. Jesus has already taken our judgment. I read it to you. When he stood under the judgment of God for us, he took our judgment. He took our sin. He took our sickness. He took our disease. He took our poverty, and he took the curse away from us. And if you receive him, you are redeemed from the curse of the law. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God placed our judgment on Jesus Christ. And not only has he taken our judgment, but we're free from it. He was like, why do you dance? Why do you act so foolish? I'm not acting foolish. And Michael got upset with David. They brought the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem. He stripped down to a linen ephod. I'm not going to do that. And he just started dancing before the Lord with all his might. Hallelujah. And Michael looked at the woman, and she despised him as his wife in her heart. She said, you look so foolish at that dancing before the maiden. He said, I wasn't doing it for anybody else. I was doing it for my God. Here's a king that stripped off his kingly robe and his crown, threw it down, and praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if David can do it, I can do it. When I get to heaven, I'm going to look him up. I want my mansion on Hallelujah Boulevard right next to Holy Ghost Avenue. I'm going to find David, and I'm going to say, David, come out here. I heard how you danced when they brought that Ark of the Covenant into the Jerusalem. I want to show you how I danced when the power of God hit me and I came out of darkness into the marvelous light. David, let's dance. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Think about it. We are made so righteousness that we are new creations in Christ. And the Bible calls us sons and daughters of God. That's how righteous you are. God said, you are the temple of the living God. God said, I'll walk in them. I'll dwell in them. I will be their God. And they will be my people. The Bible says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. The world doesn't understand you. You're peculiar that you would come to church and show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. You know, out there in West Texas, sometimes prairie fires, they just sweep across an area, destroying houses on the right and the left. And so they learned what to do. They heard the roaring fires, and they learn, when I hear that roaring fire coming across the prairie, they took action. They got out there, and they put fire all around their house for hundreds of yards. And then when they would burn up all that grass around the house, you've seen firefighters on TV doing some of that when those California fires. And when the roaring fires came through that place, and they came down next to their house, they were safe. Do you know why? Because the fire had already been there. It just roars on past that house. Hallelujah. It's not going to burn there because the fire has already been there. That's a place where the judgment of God has fallen. That's a place where God poured out his wrath, and it was on the cross. And you and I, if we're standing under the cross, God's judgment has already fallen, and you shall not come into condemnation. You shall not come into judgment, because we have passed from judgment unto eternal life. I don't know what that does for you. Hallelujah. We were sometimes in darkness, but God said, I'm going to translate you out of darkness into the kingdom of my dear son, in whom you have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Woo! Glory to God. I'm redeemed, you're redeemed, we're redeemed. I think we ought to stand and give Jesus a standing ovation. Give him an ovation of praise. Give him an ovation of worship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We don't have to fear the judgment of God. That judgment has already passed. Hallelujah. You are safe and you are secure. You don't have to worry about God's wrath. Somebody said God sent COVID-19. No, God didn't send COVID-19. He's not going to do the devil's work. The devil comes to steal and destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I've heard some people that they are well-known preachers and they talk like that. God does not send the judgment on us. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If God spared not his own son to redeem us, the Bible said he will freely give us all things. It is not God's nature to judge you. Jesus said, I'm going to take the judgment of the whole world, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, now is the judgment of the world. And Jesus took our judgment. He took our sin. He took our sicknesses. He took our poverty. He took the curse. He took it all. And all we have to do is take him. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. What happened when he died? What is this strange manifestation on the earth and in the skies? Who is it on that cross? Is it just the man? No, he's more than a man. He is God in human flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Glory to God. Who is this dying on that cross? I want to tell you who it is. If you've been born again, it's your elder brother. And his name is Jesus. And he's already taken your judgment. Hallelujah. He became like us, a human being, in order that he might take care of our sins. He who knew no sin was made sin with our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's not my good works, it's what he did on the cross. I believe in good works, I believe in holy living, but I cannot make myself holy enough. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ has already declared that I am free. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Being made free from sin, we become servants of God. We have our fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. And we weigh in the balances, you're going to be fine. Acceptable in God's sight. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at John 12:31 again. Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. I want you to notice point two. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. When Jesus was crucified, he went down into that dark dungeon, that dark abyss, and no man was there to see what happened. Only thing we have is the Bible indicates that as he grappled with the forces of darkness while he was there, he put his foot on that old serpent's head and crushed it. He made a show of the devil openly. Hallelujah, my Lord. I want you to know that every demon of hell saw it. They saw their master, Satan himself, stripped of his power. Jesus took his crown from him. Jesus took the keys of death and hell away from him. And then Jesus drug him through the corridors of hell. That's what they would do to kings back then and princes when they would destroy them. They had long trains, and the longer a king's train, the more enemies he's defeated. You know, Isaiah said, I saw him lifted high, oh God, thank you, Holy Ghost. I saw him high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Glory, 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 glory. Woo! Glory to God. I saw him high and lifted up, and his train filled it. He got a glimpse, praise God, of what took place down there in that dark dungeon. Jesus, while he was there, reached out, snatched the keys away from the devil, and he came out of that place. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus appeared. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives. Woo! Within my heart. Shout it, church. He lives within my heart. Say it. He lives within my heart. Glory to God. He arose, appeared to John. He said, look at me, John. I'm pulsing with eternal life. He said, look at me. My eyes are like a flame of fire. Look at me. I'm the Ancient of Days. Look at me. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, who was, who is, and that which is to come. Look at me, John. I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. I got the keys, John, and I'm going to hand them off to my church. Glory to God. He said, I'm the one who came through the Virgin Mary. He said, I'm the one that went down in that Jordan River to fulfill all righteousness. He said, I'm the one that performed the mighty miracles when I walked the sandy shores of Galilee and I walked among suffering humanity. He said, I'm the one, John, that went to that cross. I was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. And then he says, come near to me. Come real near to me. He said, I got something I want to give you. I want you to. And I'm giving them to my church. Oh, as a man, he grew tired. He went to sleep on the hinder parts of a ship. But as God, he arose. He rebuked the storm, said, peace, be still. And the disciples marveled and said, never a man spake as this man spake. As a man, he went to Jacob's well. He was thirsty. And he told a wayward woman there who was living in sin. He said, if you'll take one drink of the water I've got, you will never thirst again. He was talking about some living water. She took one drink. She went running through the city. And all of a sudden, she said, come see a man. Come see a man that told me all the things I've ever did is not this to Christ. He was tired in his body. He had to go and sleep and rest as a man. But as God, he says, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a Savior. You see, the devil had the keys of death and hell, but Jesus stripped him of his authority. And I want you to know something. He is the God of this world, the devil is, but he's not over us. Jesus reduced him to zero when it comes to you and me. You can bring the devil up and say, come here, Mr. Zero, and line all your demons up. I've got authority over you. I've got the keys. I've got the name of Jesus. I've got the blood of Jesus. I've got the great commission. Jesus told me to go and do what he did. And I have power over you. Jesus said, behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'll never forget many times in my life when he's tried to take me out. I told him, I said, you crazy devil, the only thing I'd do is take a shortcut home to glory. Woo! But I got authority over you. You got it. You just got to use it. See, now we have the keys. Now we have the authority. I was in a meeting yesterday down at Falcon while I was in my home doing a Zoom meeting, and we prayed for 5 hours almost, about 4 hours and 45 minutes praying. One person pray, another one pray. I come out of that place, I said, God, I'm so full, I don't know what to do. Hallelujah. I told Teresa, I'm chomping at the bits, I'm ready to go preach. I don't know all that happened, but I do know this. Jesus stripped the devil, took the keys, and now we have the keys, and we have the authority. Whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Now we have the authority. I love that scripture, Luke 10:19. You need to memorize this. If you do, King James, it says, behold, I've given you power. The newer translation says, behold, I've given you authority. That word is exousia, authority. To tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power, that word is dunamis, over all the power of the enemy. And then Paul comes along and he talks about those three powers, and there's another power. It's called kratos, and that means dominion. That the devil is not to dominate, to have dominion over you. Being made free from sin, we became servants of God. We have our fruit unto holiness. Paul said, shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Don't you know whosoever you yield yourself servant to obey, his servant you are, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Then he gives this great declaration. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Praise God. Aren't you glad to be free today? You don't have to go to the clubs. I don't do what I used to do. Don't go where I used to go. Don't talk like I used to talk. There's been a change in this life of mine since the Lord laid his hands on me. There's been a change in this life of mine. Sing it. Since the Lord laid his hands on me, the place I used to go, I don't go no more. Since the Lord laid his hands on me, the things I used to do, I don't do no more. Since the Lord laid his hands on me, there's been a change in this life of mine. Since the Lord laid his hands on me, there's been a change in this life of mine. Since the Lord laid his hands on me, Jesus broke the power of the devil. And Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, you shall break the power of the devil in my name. Hallelujah. You don't have to stay a drunkard. You don't have to stay hooked on drugs and alcohol. You don't have to worry about your children. You just tell the devil, you cannot have my child. You don't have to commit suicide. Believe on the Lord Jesus, suicide. I say mosquito and suicide. Amen. Hallelujah. That's just because I'm from Henderson. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Take him into your heart and say, devil, go. And guess what? You say, go in Jesus' name and he will go. Glory to God. Sure, life is a fight. So many people get discouraged. Sure, life is a battle. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've had to fight. Teresa's had to fight. We've all had to fight. Life is not a bed of roses. That is a real devil. And we're not fighting flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Glory to God. We're not fighting for a victory, though. We're fighting from the victory of Calvary's cross. Jesus has already declared our victory. The Bible says we're more than conquerors through him. Sure, life is a fight. But the Bible says no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. The Bible says this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The Bible says God always causes us to triumph in Jesus Christ. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The Bible says if God be for us, who can be against us? So suit up, put on the whole armor of God, come out singing the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and fight the good fight of faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My Lord, don't let the devil walk all over you and your family. The prince of this world has been defeated. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That word resist, it means to run in holy terror. I don't believe that, Pastor. The Bible says the devils also believe and tremble. When you say the name of Jesus, he just shakes all over. His demons, they shake all over. They realize that you have authority over them. They realize that you have the keys. They realize the power of the blood. They realize and remember when Jesus was in that dark abyss and stripped the devil down to zero, made a show of him opening, and then they realized when the keys were handed off to the church. You got the keys, church. We got the keys. Let's use them. I was on an airplane, and I was on a business trip. I stepped off of my airplane, and I looked up, and I saw T.L. Osmond. T.L. Osmond was a great evangelist, and I read his book. I probably could write it now, but I read it. And on how to overcome sin and sickness and disease and demon power. And then I got another of his books on evangelism, and I stepped off and I looked up and saw him. I walked over to him and introduced myself. I know who you are. You're T.L. Osborne. Wow. I got to shake his hand. I wish I could have stayed and let him lay those hands on me. And he made this statement one time. He said, I used to be afraid of the devil till I found out the devil's afraid of me. See, Jesus said, now is the prince of this world defeated. Now is he cast out. See, we've got a generation, church, that they're on besetting things, drugs and immorality and alternative lifestyle. And it's nothing but demon power. And you've got to know that. And the church needs to wake up and put the devil in his place. Thank God there are churches that preach the truth. We found out here at Westmoreland that our judgment's already passed. It's already been taken. We found out that the prince of this darkness in this world, that his power has been broken. Shout it with me. I want you to make a confession. No devil, you can't have my body. I'm redeemed. No devil, you can't have my family. I'm redeemed. No devil, you can't have my children. I'm redeemed. No devil, you can't have my finances and my money. I'm redeemed. Tell the devil, I will not let you. I refuse to let you to have that stuff. You're not going to take my stuff from me. I don't come in my name. I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ. And that name carries power. And you must bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now is the prince of this world judged. Our judgment has already been taken. The enemy has already been defeated. We are who God said we are. We have what God said we have. We can do what God said we can do. And we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Go on, praise the Lord for that name. And I penned these words, and they're not original to me. I think Smith Wigglesworth might have said them. But I've lived it for many years and asked God to make my spirit man so much bigger than my outer man. He said we ought to be 1,000 times bigger on the inside than we are on the outside. My Lord. We ought to be 1,000 times bigger on the inside than we are on the outside. Get into this book. Read it. I can't go to sleep sometimes. I got so much scripture just churning over. It just puts so much energy in my body. Praise God. I say, Lord, let me go to sleep. I have to stop sometime early so I can go to sleep, because if I get into this book and I get to reading this book, all of a sudden I feel the wheel in the wheel. Woo! Glory. I just feel energy flowing into me. I just feel the refreshings of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, the Bible talks about the refreshings of the Spirit. The devil doesn't want us to have church. That political party's at that. It don't want us to have church. They know that the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And if the church in America will rise up and vote right, cast your net, praise God, get those democratic devils out of there. Put some people in there that love God, love this nation. Go on, praise God. If you want to write me and tell me that you don't like that, read the book. The Bible says, come out of darkness into the marvelous light. Have no fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I reprove them in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Baby killers, God haters, anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-prayer, anti-church. Wake up, America! Cast your net on the right side. Give President Donald J. Trump 4 more years in Jesus' name. Glory to God. I don't like preaching like that. Well, I didn't come to please you. I come to preach the gospel. We don't need to let have a little lullaby sing us to sleep in this nation. God raised this nation up. God said, I want a people that will worship me and praise me. I want a people that will proclaim my message. And the Democrats, whether you like me or not, let me tell you something. I'm not a fool, and I know you're trying to shut down the church. Wake up, my Lord. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on the blessings of God. I heard a story of an old preacher who was traveling on horseback up in the mountains. And he noticed a huge snake on the trail, and his horse backed up. It was a narrow passage, and it was the only way he could get through on that trail. And he looked and he saw a snake that was hiding. His head was under the shade of a rock. So he got off his horse, and he walked around there, and he was careful not to disturb that snake. It was a poisonous snake, and he didn't want to get bitten. And he looked and looked, and finally he got a little close and looked down, and he found out that snake was not hiding at all. Somebody earlier had traveled that same trail, and they had smashed that snake's head under that rock. You and I, we're traveling down the road of life, and sometimes it looks like it's all over. Somebody named Jesus, woo! He has already traveled the road before. And the devil, he may be there on that road. But let me tell you something, that old serpent, his head has been crushed. The heel of Jesus was bruised, but the head of the snake was crushed. Hallelujah. What happened when Jesus died? He said, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. And listen to the third thing. Jesus said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, if I go to the cross, I will draw all men unto me. Jesus said, if I die the death of the cross, and I am, if I take the judgment of this whole world, and I am, if I break the power of the devil, and I am, then I will draw every human being into my presence to give an account of the sacrifice that I made for them. Please, nobody moving. Many of you, you have already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Many people have ignored Him all their life. But with every sunrise, with every sunset, with every breath you breathe, with every tick of the clock, you're getting one step closer to the judgment. And you will give an account of what you did with the sacrifice. Pilate said, what then shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? That's the question. Not what shall I do with the preacher? Not what shall I do with the church? But what shall I do with Jesus? What should you do with Him? You should bow before Him and ask Him to come into your heart and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And when you do that, you will not come into judgment. You will have power over the devil because you have passed from death unto life. And then you can face life and you can face death. Knowing this, I belong to Jesus. What shall I do with this man called the Christ? What are you going to do with him? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? You know, I did that sermon Wednesday night, and the Lord brought something I'd learned years ago. Being saved is as easy as ABC. If you've heard God speak to you, and if you feel condemnation and you feel conviction on you, then you need to admit you're a sinner. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. B. And C. Confess your sins. Repent. And then confess Him as Lord of your life. And if you'll do that, you can be saved. Let us stand.
He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus,
the preaching of the cross
is
the power of God unto salvation.
He's all I need. He's all
that empty place in the sinner's heart.
I need.
Jesus can fill it.
Jesus.
I searched the world for 37 years. Nothing could satisfy.
He's real to
I kept walking down the road of sin.
He's real to me.
And the further I went, the worse things got. Finally, like the prodigal, I came to myself.
To me.
And I said, Lord, I need help. I couldn't deal with the war traumas. I couldn't deal with a lot of things in my personality. But I went to the cross. For 17 years I dreamed about Vietnam. 37 years ago I went to the cross and never had another dream about it. That's the power of the blood. And I said, God, if you can do that, you can do anything. I take the limits off of you.
Jesus.
And that's why I believe, God, with you. I've taken the limits off of God. God is love. He gave us 66 books to express that word. It's the word of God. And Jesus is the word that was made flesh. If you get a hold of Jesus, the living word, and you get a hold of this Bible, the written word, this Bible is living also. It pulsates with life. Sing it, brother.
Oh,
anybody here that wants to get saved?
I need
altars.
Jesus,
they're open.
I need.
And you can know Jesus. If you're already saved, just thank him. If you want to come talk to him, come kneel at this altar.
There's
fire on this altar.
My Jesus,
tell the Lord that I received you as my Savior. Lord, I need to make you master. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Milton, the Lord has brought you a long way. Pour your heart out to him.
He's so real to me.
And tell him how you feel inside.
Jesus.
Bow your heart to him and enjoy his presence. Let him cleanse you.
Me.
Let him wash you. I feel like I've had a bath today. The washing of the water of the word. Hallelujah. Glory.
He's
all I
need. Oh, my Jesus.
Is all I